today is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 12. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
ルカによる福音書2章8節から12節を日本語でお読みします。さて、この土地に羊飼いたちが野宿で夜番をしながら羊の群れを見守っていた。すると主の使いが彼らのところに来て、主の栄光が周りを照らしたので彼らはひどく恐れた。御使いは彼らに言った。恐れることはありません。今私はこの民全体のための素晴らしい喜びを知らせに来たのです。今日ダビデの町であなた方のために救い主がお生まれになりました。この方こそ主キリストです。あなた方は布にくるまって貝羽桶に寝ておられる緑子を見つけます。これがあなた方のための印です。
Good morning. Oh, this is Christmas Sunday. I should get a better good morning than that. Come on, let's go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I told you about the Japanese service I used to go to, right? There was this old man, and they always start off with good morning, and there was this old man there, and he would give the best good morning you could ever ask for. You know, the pastor would come up and say, "Good morning," kind of thing. And he would always go, "Good morning," like really loud. And it just brings so much joy in the place. How many of you know you can bring joy with just like effort? You know? Anyways, let's try that again. With a little bit more effort. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, it's okay. It's almost Christmas. As Nate mentioned, 3 days, and Christmas is special, you know, for a lot of reasons. It's the time of year where consumerism hits its peak, and the obligation to give gifts is pretty stressful. People fight over parking spaces and, you know, all the bah humbugs. All right, let me start over. Okay. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, where we spend time with family, loved ones, exchange gifts, and, you know, there's this tradition for some of us who forgive those that have wronged us, and we look forward with hope to a new year. Amen. How many of us are looking forward to 2020?
Amen.
Just a couple of us, yeah? I think 2020 will be a good year, hopefully. If you're with the Lord, it'll be a great year. Amen. Anyways, what is your favorite part of Christmas? The presents. Yeah, for me personally, my favorite part of Christmas is the gift. The good food and the gift. Although these days, the good food, it kind of sort of like minus is out my love for it, because I've already gained 4 pounds. And so I'm like, I can't go at this rate. You know, it's not even Christmas yet and I'm already gained 4 pounds. Imagine what's going to happen if I continue to go on this path. But I love good food and I really like gifts. My wife always tells me I'm a good gift giver. And I don't know. Maybe the reason why I'm a good gift giver is because I like receiving gifts. And so I try to step into the shoes of the person and say, you know, what would this person like? And for me, My love language is gifts. And it's not too late to get me a gift yet. For those of you who have not bought me a gift, my love language is a gift. But there's this book out there called Love Languages, The Five Love Languages. Have you heard of that book? It's by Gary Chapman. It came out maybe 20 years ago now or something like that. And he says, according to him, there are five unique ways that we can communicate and receive love. Five distinct, unique ways where people either give love or receive love. And those five different ways are gifts, my favorite, words of affirmation, quality time, serving, and physical affection, touch. Those are the five ways. So it's giving gifts, words of affirmation, serving, quality time, and physical affection, touch. Now, you know, go ahead and think for a moment. What is your love language? If you had to pick from those five, what would you say your love language is? For some of us, it's gift. For some of us, you know, gifts don't really mean that much, but we do love it when we spend time with people. For some of us, we need to hear, like, words of affirmation, you know? We need to hear, that's a great sermon, you know? actually, I don't know if words of affirmation is actually my love language, because, you know, whenever people say something nice, I'm like, they have to say that. Yeah, they don't mean it. They have to say it. I'm like, so, I don't know, skeptical. But, you know, those out of those five, and this is just his theory, his book. I actually have not read the book, unfortunately, but it makes sense for me. It makes sense, so, and for me, it's one of my biggest one is gifts. And so today, I coined the sermon. I named this sermon, because I love gifts so much, Jesus is the gift of Jesus Christ. The gift of Jesus Christ. And that's simply because I love gifts. And for those who may not necessarily have gift as their number one love language, they might say something like, you know, the presence of Jesus Christ. The word of Jesus Christ, the word of God, become flesh. And there's all these different ways that God, through Jesus Christ, is trying to communicate to us and to you one thing. Without him, you're going to hell. No, just kidding. That's not the one thing he's trying to communicate to us. But oftentimes, when you go to the church, that's sort of like the message you might kind of, like, that's sort of the stigma we have. But the one thing that God wants to communicate to you more than anything else, he loves you. And through Jesus Christ, that's revealed in such a magnificent way. It's interesting, if this love language thing is true, and I've heard people testimony of, yeah, this actually is pretty accurate, is sometimes when we're not aware of the different ways people say, I love you, that there could be a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, and it can cause unnecessary pains, gaps, and cracks in relationship. A friend of mine, you know, she read this book, you know, it was just mind-blowing for her, because for her love language, I believe, was something like words of affirmation and physical affection. And she grew up, she was a Chinese-American. Her dad was I think he was born in China. And the way he expressed, I love you, was not verbally. But he loved to serve. And he would go and just clean her room Without even being asked, he would just go in there and clean her room, and he would make great food for her. Like, he just loved cooking for her, and he'd do all these things for her. But she always thought, my dad must not love me, because he's never really said it, or he's never really just embraced me. Like, I see all these other, you know, daughters receive love from their father. And when she read this book, she just, her eyes were open. That time her father cooked for her, that time he spent hours cleaning a room, that was his way of telling her daughter, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I believe God does this to us. And sometimes there are miscommunications, misunderstandings, unnecessary pains, gaps and cracks when it comes to God communicating, I love you. Especially, unfortunately, from the church. And when we read the Bible sometimes and we read the Old Testament, unfortunately, that it could come across that God doesn't love us, or God is angry with us, or God is, you know, all these other things. Not that he's not a holy God, a righteous God. Not that we didn't need to be saved from those things. But that through Jesus Christ, we understand that the greatest thing that God wants us to know and to see and to understand, he loves you. He created you to love you. I wanted to take a closer look today at the birth of Jesus Christ. So this is the first I love you revelation through the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want to take a closer look at that. To set the scene of Jesus' birth, his parents, Mary and Joseph, they're from a small town called Nazareth. It's a poor town. And because Israel is under Roman rule, Roman law, the Caesar, the king, the emperor, Augustus, calls a census that forces everyone to go back to their hometown. And Joseph and Mary, although they're poor, and although they're from a small town, they actually have royal lineage all the way back to David. And so David is from Bethlehem. Since Caesar Augustus calls a census, they have to go all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is a 90-mile grueling trek. And you got to understand, Mary is almost about to give birth. They take this grueling 90-mile journey, not because they wanted to, because they're almost forced to. And I already mentioned they're not rich. Imagine what Mary and Joseph are thinking that first Christmas day. It wasn't Christmas yet because he wasn't born, but imagine what they were thinking. They must have been thinking, where is God? What is going on? Mary's feet's probably all swollen, you know, and she wants to eat like peanut butter and sardines, and, you know, her hormones are just going all over the place, and I don't know how it is when you're pregnant, but, you know, it's not the best time to travel when you're pregnant like that. However, even though it looks like Caesar Augustus is the one calling the shots, look what Luke tells us. That the birth of Jesus happens in Bethlehem, the town of David, just as the scripture prophesied. And I just want to say this. What God is communicating through this little episode is no matter how crazy life gets, and life can get crazy, you can trust that God will be there for you, and that he will redeem it in some way. He will make all things work for good for those who love him in Christ Jesus. And he's ultimately the one in control. Now, he may not have planned it the way it happened. I certainly don't think God ever plans rape. I certainly don't think God ever plans accidents. I certainly don't think God ever plans people getting robbed or anything like that. But even in all that craziness and how dark the world will get and how crazy life can get, here in Joseph and Mary's life is communicating, I love you. By reassuring them, this is all part of a bigger picture, a bigger plan. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Amen. Let me just say this. This has nothing. But what disqualifies you here qualifies you in the kingdom. The darker it gets here, God will redeem it there. And I believe he'll start here if you let him. He'll start here if you let him. For those of you who may be going through stuff in life or who's in the past have gone through stuff in life, I want you to know that God loves you. And he will work all things out. There's a bigger picture. Now it was time for Mary to give birth, and I want to note a couple things. First, angels appear to proclaim the birth of the newborn king as fittingly, as it should be. Whenever I believe back in those times when, you know, there was a king's arrival or a king's birth, there was a big announcement, and since human beings dropped the ball on that one, God sent angels to proclaim this good news. And notice who gets the good news. It's the person that has to work the night shift job at Walmart on Christmas Eve. It's the poor shepherd boy at night having the worst time to do this job. And the angels come to them. For those of you who have to work at Walmart on Christmas Eve, let me tell you, God still loves you. God still loves you. Even if you don't have like a great job that pays a lot. God revealed himself to these poor shepherd boys and said, you're not royalty, you're not dignity, you're not wise, you're not the wise men, you're nobody. We know that. And everyone reminds you that. But God said, I want to tell you, I love you. With his presence, if the angels, were like Brother John here, he probably would have put his hand on their shoulder and told them the good news. And because, you know, maybe some of those shepherd boys, they needed that touch. They needed an embrace. They needed someone to tell them, you're somebody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that touch communicates that to them. But God certainly wanted to tell the world, I love you. And, you know, if physical touch is your love language, physical affection is your love language, imagine that God, when he comes on the, when he reveals himself to the world, the first time he reveals himself to the world, through Jesus Christ, what does he do? He comes as a flaming ball of fire that no one could touch. Just kidding, that's not what happens. That's not what happens. Just testing you guys. When Jesus comes on the earth, no, he did not come as a flaming ball, a blue ball of fire that no one could touch, and it's like, ah! No, what does Jesus come as? A vulnerable little baby. Can you imagine God making himself that vulnerable where anyone could be like, hey, God! If anyone had the wisdom, they could have been like, God, God, I'm doing this to God. Kicks him in the head or something. You know. Isn't that amazing? That God would reveal himself to us in that way.
Amen.
This is who I am. And something else I wanted to know is when Jesus was born, and most of you have heard this part of the story, there were no rooms in the inn. They were probably poor. If they had enough money, they probably could have got in. There was probably like the penthouse room, like they're keeping ready for some celebrity to come or something like that, that they could have probably got into. But there was no room. So they had to go to the barn. And when Mary was born in that barn, there was no carriage. They put him in a feeding trough called a manger. Imagine that, you know. For those of you who just had a kid, imagine having to put your baby in where the cow eats its food. Now imagine if you went to a hotel and they told you, nope, there's no room for you here. Put your baby in where, you know, where my cow eats its lunch. Now imagine if you were really powerful and that happened to you. You actually own the place. And the person at the front desk is like, nope, you can't go here. And smugly like, go put your baby over there. You know, what would you do? You'd be like, you're fired, you know. You can't even tell, like, are you kidding me? So when it happened to Jesus, guess what God the Father did? He rained down fire and brimstone on that inn after they left. Did you know that? Little known fact. That after they left, God said, whoosh. No, that did not happen. Okay, if this is your first time at church, that did not happen. I mean, if I was God the Father, that might have happened. Or like, they would have got sick. Everyone would have got food poisoning in that, you know, something would have, leprosy or something. No. God is like, okay, you know, they missed the ball on that one again. It's fine. I'm not here to serve, be served. I'm here to serve others. And whatever they want to offer, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to throw down any fireballs, nothing like that. In his love, because Jesus came here not to condemn the world, but to save you. A Savior is born. The Messiah, the Lord. Jesus Christ is the greatest Christmas gift the world has ever received.
Amen.
He is the greatest communication of love to this world. The gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, the gift of holiness, the gift of being part of God's family. This is all Jesus Christ came to do. And if you're not a gift person like I am, he came to touch the world. He came to touch those who've never been touched, who had to go around saying, I have leprosy, I have leprosy. He came to touch those people. He came as the Word of God to communicate to this world, I love you. To verbally affirm how much He thinks of you. Did you know that? Did you know even now, if we quiet ourselves and we ask God, what does He think of me? You know what He'll say? He'll say something so incredible that will blow your minds. He'll say something like, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are so precious to me. You are so valuable. And you're like, I'm so valuable. Like, how come nobody else sees it? How come they schedule me to work the night shift? He came to serve us. And it is very clear in Jesus' life that that is one of the greatest things He came to do, is to serve us. He continues to serve us, even though we may not be aware. I would not be surprised if that inn, even though the way they treated Mary and Joseph and Jesus, was blessed. I would not be surprised at all. I would not be surprised for that those moments that Jesus was in that place, that there was just more joy, more peace. Like, the food just tasted a lot better, and all these other things happened because of His time there. If you value quality time, I want you to know God will never leave you nor forsake you. And I know there are people here that have experienced God in that way, who've intentionally took time to spend time with God and realize, oh, God's presence is so good. But you won't experience that, and you might miss it in this lifetime if you never do that. You could go your entire life not asking God, what do you think of me? And not hear God's verbal affirmation for your life. You go entire life. Miss all the times He's given you these gifts, these touches, these words. But I want you to know today, the reason for Christmas, the reason why we celebrate, is because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the birth of Jesus Christ is God's ultimate way of saying, I love you. Let us pray. For those of us who may not know Jesus in a personal way, and if you would like to know Him in a personal way, to begin this relationship with God is like any other relationship you've been in. You simply have to ask or invite God and say, God, Jesus, would you come into my life? And if you're not ready for that, you could just say, Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me? This is a spiritual thing. He may never physically speak to you, physically reveal Himself to you, but in your heart of hearts, in your spirit, He will do all those things. And I feel like there are some here that may want to know Jesus. And so if you don't know Him, go ahead and pray that prayer. Say, Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me? Amen. Father, I thank you so much for your gift to us. Your gift of Jesus Christ. I thank you so much that you love us. And Father, I pray right now for those of us here who may not have ever heard your affirming words to us, for us. I pray right now that all the other voices would be silenced, and that we could hear your loving, kind words to us. Father, we praise you. Thank you so much for just this holiday season. I pray you'll bless it, and I pray you'll be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.